We've got a lot to be thankful for, don't we? But we've got a lot of good times, good precious memories to share. And you know what? Christmas time is a good time to do that, isn't it? I know in my family, and we've missed it out the last 2 years because of COVID, we usually will have Karen's family one night and my family in for another night, and we'll have anywhere from 30 to 45 people show up. And we're fortunate to have a big basement that we can do it in, and everybody can come, and we have a great family time. But, you know, I remember the good old days when we could go to my mom's house every Sunday, and there would be a great meal there, and the whole family would come together for a meal. But, you know, I'm so thankful that we've got times like this, that families from all over will come and get together at Christmas. And, you know, I just got a tremendous example this morning where our brother is going to be sharing the gospel next week and invited family members and different relatives and neighbors to come to hear the message. And, you know, can you think of anything better than to be able to share the gospel with somebody at Christmas time? Now, I know God wants us to share the gospel with us all the time, every day, wherever we go and whoever we run into, and we need to be prepared, don't we? And you know what? Today, I wanted us to think about the Lord's Prayer for laborers. You know, there's a little song that I can remember singing many years ago and hearing it. It goes like this. My house is full. There is peace and contentment in my Father's house today. Lots of food on his table and no one turned away. There is singing and laughter as the hours pass by, but a hush calms the singing as the Father sadly cries. My house is full, but my field is empty. Who will go and work for me today? It seems my children all want to stay around my table, but no one wants to work in my field. No one wants to work in my fields. Push away from the table. Look out through the window pane. Just beyond the house of plenty lies a field of golden grain. And it's ripe unto harvest, but the reapers, where are they? There in the house. Oh, can't the children hear the father sadly say, my house is full, but my field is empty. Who will go and work for me today? It seems my children all want to stay around my table, but no one wants to work in my field. No one wants to work in my field. You know, Jesus said, and I've got to, on an outline here, some precious verses. Jesus said, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white to harvest. You know, we think of harvest season here. I remember growing up as a kid, it was in the fall time, wasn't it? But when we look around, when is the harvest time? For us to go out into the fields and to be obedient to the Lord and what he wants us to be doing. And that is to share the gospel and to tell people about the good news of the glorious gospel. You know, it says in Matthew chapter 9, and I've got a list of verses here and we won't have time to look at all of these. But you can take the outline home and look at the verses that we don't get to look at. But listen to what it says here in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. And if you look at the context of this passage, it's right before the Lord sent out the 12. And then later on, you know, the Lord sends out 70 to announce to the villages that he's going through that really the king is coming. And I can't think of a better privilege for you and for me to be announcing that the king is coming. You know, the king came that Christmas day, and he was really put in a king's bed, wasn't he? A baby manger. That was the first king-size bed. And the first king that really deserved the prince of all beds and the prince of all recognition for because of who he was. But listen to what he says to the disciples in Matthew chapter 9. It says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest.'" That's what we need, isn't it? And that's what the heart of the Lord is. It's for you and for me and to look at the situations around. And you know, all you have to do is look at your neighborhood and you can see neighbors who are going through real distress. I know one of our neighbors, his wife has been sick. She can't get out of the house. You know, the kids have to come and help her every day. And you know, this has been going on for a year. And now her husband can hardly get around. But you know what? I've talked to this man and he doesn't want to hear about Jesus. He's mad because of what happened to him as a young child. His dad was walking up the road when he was 12 years old, and a guy in a truck hit him and killed him. And he's still mad today, and he doesn't want to hear because of what happened to him as a little boy. And you know, we don't know what's going on when we look in the fields, do we? You know, there's a story behind every story, isn't it? And if we could look into people's hearts like the Lord Jesus could, he could look in and tell exactly what was going on there, couldn't he? He could tell what people were thinking. He didn't need anybody to tell him what was going on in man. But he's the one that says this. Weary and scattered. Now, is that a description of what we see today? And you know, we look at what 2 years of COVID has done. Think about what has happened in the last day with that tornado that came through. The number of people that was killed, the number of families that lost everything. And you look at all of the fires and the floods and all the volcanoes and the different things that's going on in the world. You know, I think God's trying to wake us up. And to get people to see, hey, there's more to life than just the things and the possessions that we have. God's want to waken our eyes, if you will, and to see that his son, the Lord Jesus, is a real answer to all of our problems. You know, it's amazing how he's working in our hearts, but we need to look at the sheep who are going around like they don't have a shepherd. Do we see that? All you have to do is go out into the marketplace, go out in the fields of downtown, go to the beach, and you'll see it everywhere. And you can ask people, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? You know, last week I was walking on a trail at home, and I met a girl, and she was wearing a nurse's uniform, and I gave her a tract, and she gave it back to me. I don't want that. I don't want to hear any of this. She was mad. And she just marched right away. I walk about a half a mile, and here comes a guy with two little kids. One's about 4 years old, one's probably 7 or 8. And this little girl in front, she was skipping along and just having a great time. And their older sister was behind dad. And I gave the kids a coin, a John 3:16 coin. And I said, kids, would you share this with your dad? Okay, he took the coin, and he started looking at it, and his face lit up, and he said, kids, this is the verse we heard in church last Sunday. Thank this guy for this coin. to remind us that God loves us. You know, we use Christmas time to remind one another that we're part of a family, don't we? And you know, when we come together as a family, what do we want to be the focus? It's love, isn't it? And, you know, God says, I want all the people in the field to come. And I want every one of them. And, you know, you can just think about the Lord when he went to Samaria. He had needs to go through Samaria. The disciples didn't know where he was going, but he knew exactly where he was going. There was somebody that he needed to meet at the well of Jacob. And I've got some verses here. Listen to what it says. The Lord spoke to this lady at the well. And she starts off talking with him and she says, you Jews. Okay. Then he's a sir. Then he's a prophet. Then he's the Messiah. And then by the time you get to the end of the story, he's the Savior of the world. And you know what? Isn't that the way we see things? I don't want that track. You keep it. I pray the Lord will do something in this lady's eyes to open her eyes to be able to see that God loves her and whatever struggle she's going through, he wants to help her. Not only in this life, but he wants to get her prepared for the next life, doesn't he? And what's the solution to that problem? You know, the struggles we have here on earth is nothing compared to the struggle that we would go through if we don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And what we need to do is to share the good news. Listen to what John told the disciples while this woman ran into the city and he's standing there talking to them. He says in John 4:34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows, another reaps. And we don't know what is going to happen when we share the good news to him. It's amazing the people you talk to and they hear it and they don't do anything with it for years. I shared the gospel with a man on his deathbed and shared the gospel. And I told him, I said, look, Mr. Cooper, I'm not the same boy you knew as a teenager when I used to hang out with your sons. And he said, tell me your story. And I told him how I got saved. He started crying. And I shared the gospel with him. He's crying, laying there on his deathbed. And he said, Jerry, I heard this story 30 years ago, but I've done nothing with it. And right there he got saved. And he died just a couple of weeks later. But that's the way it works, isn't it? We don't have 4 months to the harvest. Today is the day of harvest, isn't it? Today is the day that we need to be either going out, as it were, sowing or reaping. And we don't know who, every time we pass out a track or talk to somebody, if you were to die today and stand before God, and God should ask me, why should I let you into heaven? What would your answer be? Okay. You believe in the Lord Jesus and what he did for you on Calvary, right? And you know what God would say? Welcome into heaven. That's the solution, isn't it? And you know what? The gospel is so simple, isn't it? But it's so complicated for people to believe. And I know I struggled with it for a long time. And it took the death in the family of my brother-in-law before I was willing to really listen to God and start seeking a solution to the problem that I had. But listen to what it says here. The message is so simple. It was shared this morning at the worship meeting. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. 25 words. First 12 tells us what God did. The last 12 tells us what we're to do. And the connecting word is the word Son. That's great, isn't it? It's that simple, isn't it? And when we believe that message, when we believe it and we receive it, guess what we become? We become a child of God. And you know what? It's not that complicated, and you just share what you can with whoever you're talking to. And you need when you go fishing, you got a whole box full of tackle, right? Different bait you use. You got to have a lot of verses, and what'll work with one person won't work with the other. This person's having another struggle, and this one's having a different one. And you're the one that can reach this one, but you're the one that can reach that one. Some people won't listen to you. Others will joyfully listen to you. And we've got so much to be thankful for, to have such an incredible message of Christmas. Christmas is when God sent his Son. I wish we had time to look at the whole thing there. But listen to what it says here. I've got another verse of scripture I want us to look at. The things we ought to pray for. We ought to pray. It says here in 1 Timothy 2:1, it says, therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all goodness, godliness, and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Now, isn't that what we want? We want godliness where everybody's doing what's right, and we want fear, and we have to have that in order to have that peaceable life that we all want. We want peace, don't we? And, wouldn't it be great if we had it here on earth? But right now, you don't have it, do you? Do you lock your doors at night? Do you lock your car when you get out? You don't leave your keys like you did in the old days. You can leave your windows rolled down. But today, we don't have that peace, do we? And what's the only way we can get the peace that we're looking for? It's through Christ. Listen to what else it says here. It says in verse 4 there of 1 Timothy 2, this is what God desires. This is what he wants. Who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants everybody to be saved. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And it was appointed, and I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher to the Gentiles in faith and truth. Therefore, I desire that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. And you know what? When we lift up those hands, and I think it includes the women too here, when we lift up those hands that are clean, we've had our sins forgiven, we've confessed our sins on that day, and we're able to pray to God, who do we pray for? We pray for all of the needs of our family, don't we? Physical family and our spiritual family. But who else do we pray for? We pray for our lost family members, our neighbors, the different people that we know that need to have Christ in their life. And you know what? There's only one mediator between God and man. And that's Christ Jesus, isn't it? You know, we saw that earlier this morning when we looked at Romans chapter 5 in the worship meeting. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, haven't we? And what do we deserve as a result of our sin? We deserve the wages of sin is death. We deserve to die and to be separated from God spiritually into a place of torment because of our sin. but God the Father is holy and righteous in him. And who was the one that took the Father's judgment and the judgment that you and I deserve and became the mediator that solved the problem for both of us? God's holiness and righteousness was testified when he allowed his son to die for you and for me. Can you think of any greater love than that? I can't think of anything any better. But you know, here's the good news. Once we come to Christ and we get saved, you know, we become a part of the family of God, don't we? But you know, I'm so thankful it doesn't just stop there. We become ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador. You know, in the United States here, we have ambassadors in the different countries of the world, don't we? And if there's any kind of a problem going on between the United States and that country, he is supposed to go and talk to them, right? If they have an issue, they're supposed to come and talk to him, and then he talks to our president. But you and I are the ambassadors that God has sent into the world to share with everybody how they can be reconciled to God. Let's see what these verses say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And it starts off with challenging us to realize that we are going to all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. All believers. Okay? Now we know the unbelievers, the ones who reject Christ, they're going to stand to great white throne judgment. It'll be totally two different judgments. But you and I, as believers, will stand before the Lord in a coming day, and we'll have to give an account for the life that we lived after we have received all of these blessings. Listen to what it says. Paul says here in 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident, yes, we well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. We are confident of that, right? Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Verse 11. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well known to God, and I also trust well known in your consciences. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to glory on our behalf, that you may have something to answer those who glory in appearance and not in the heart. You got something to share with the people who is glorying in their appearance and what they've got rather than what's really going on in the heart. And knowing the terror of God, he said there in verse 11, knowing the terror of God, you know what? We're going to be treated like children of God, aren't we? We don't have to fear the judgment, the terror of God the way the unbelievers have to worry about it. And you know what? All you have to do is be around somebody who's dying. And they know they're unsaved. They know they are not right with God. And the terror that they're going through in their minds. But that's just the beginning. The real terror begins when they end up in that place where there's lamenting and tormenting, right? Where the fire never ceases. We know that that's what's going to happen to the unsaved people. They're going to end up in hell, separated from God. And so knowing that that's the case. I mean, if you knew the bridge was out going across the water here going out into Wrightsville Beach, if you knew the bridge, the middle portion had collapsed, and you saw somebody going down that bridge, what would you do? You would run and throw out your hands and tell them to stop, stop, stop. The bridge is out. Can you think of anything worse than a bridge be out? They could go into the air and hit the bottom and go down to the water and be alive, couldn't they? But if they leave this life without Christ and they've never received Him as Lord and Savior, the bridge really is out, isn't it? They have no hope. And knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That's one of the things I think we need to think about. One of the reasons we need to persuade people that they need to be saved. But look at what it says in verse 14. Well, let me just back up. Let me back up here and read. If we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. I'm doing it for you. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we judge thus that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Wow. Christ died for all, didn't he? Did we die with him? Isn't that a beautiful picture of what baptism is all about? I died with him. I confess him as my Lord and my Savior. I died with him and I rose again. And I'm a new person in Christ. And we see that right here in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Aren't you thankful for that day that you became a new person in Christ? It's quite a blessing, isn't it? Going down this wrong road, and we made a U-turn and started going in this direction. What a blessing it is to become a new creation in Christ. But listen to what he says. As a new creation in Christ, he's given us a new job. He says in verse 18, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling them, the world, to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and have committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Here's how God solved the problem. Verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God was took his only begotten Son, the only perfect one, and he took all of our sin and put it on him. When he died on that cross, it was not for anything that he'd done wrong. Even the devil couldn't find anything to point a finger at. He died for you and for me. And when we receive him as our Lord and Savior, what does God the Father do for you and for me? He takes his righteousness and puts it on us. Therefore, we're justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. And as a result of what he has done for us, now this is what he expects us to do for him. Listen to what it says here in verse 30. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as through God we're pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You're an ambassador. Because Christ took your sins and then took his righteousness and put it on you. He says, okay, you're a new creation in Christ. You're my child now. And I'm going to make you an ambassador. I'm going to send you out and I'm going to let you tell your friends, your neighbors, and the ones you come in contact with, I want you to talk to them about me and the new person you are in Christ. Isn't that amazing? you see this right here, persuading people, pleading with people, and that's how it works. Isn't it? Have you ever seen one that you pleaded with to be saved? You know what? I remember my dad. I went to visit him one time back in the late 70s and shared the gospel with him, and he was crying. And Dad was in his late 60s during that period of time, and he told me, he said, "Jerry, you're the first person that's ever shared the gospel with me." It took him another 10 years, but he got saved before he died. That's what we want to do, right? We want to talk to people and tell them today is the day of salvation. Listen to what it says here. We're ambassadors. We have the opportunity to represent God in this incredible message anywhere we go in the world. It's amazing, isn't it? Whether you go to from South America, you name it, if you've been there, it's an incredible opportunity, isn't it? To represent God, but one of the best places to represent Him at is right here in your hometown, in your neighborhood, and wherever you go around the people you're with. And listen to what it says in chapter 6, verse 1. This is incredible. It says, "We then are as workers together with Him." Isn't that amazing? We're workers together with God. We're workers together with anybody that's sharing the gospel, right? Listen to what he says here. "Plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain." Now, what's he talking about there? Receiving the grace of God in vain. I think what he's saying here, you received the grace that allowed you to be saved by it. For by grace are we saved, through faith, and that not of ourselves. Okay? We have received the grace of God. But what happens if we don't go out and become ambassadors for Christ? What happened to our faith if we don't share with other people what God has done for us? Our faith is in vain, isn't it? And we need to be doing this. Listen to the next verse, verse 2 there. He says, in an acceptable time I have heard, and in that day salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Every day is the day of salvation. Look at your watch. What time is it? If you've never trusted Christ, now is the time for you to be saved. I saw a sign in Burlington at a church, and it's got a big sign out front, and it says, "Behold, today is the," and it's got a clock, "the day of salvation." Now's the time. Now's the day to be saved. What a blessing that we have. You know what? I'm about out of time, and I'm going to skip chapter number 5 here that I want us to look at. But it's the armor that we need to have in order to have the boldness to go out and to share the gospel. And you've heard this message here probably about the spiritual armor that everybody needs to have on, right? And you can see this armor. But then Paul says, when you get dressed up in this spiritual armor, pray for me that I might have the boldness to open my mouth and to share the gospel. Can you think of anything better to pray for? When you get all dressed up, when is it our biggest enemy comes and tries to defeat us? It's in our prayer life, isn't it? When we are praying for the things that we ought to do. And I wish we had time I could do a message on each one of these passages. But they all fit together beautifully. But listen to what it says, point number 6, and I'll try to close with this in one more statement. Listen to what it says in Romans 10. It says in Romans 10:13, "For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever, wherever, however, if they call upon the name of the Lord and ask for what He has done for them to be imputed to them, they get saved, don't they? But listen to these different hows. And here's the issue. Verse 14, how shall they call upon Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? It is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If somebody has not heard the gospel, and we know they hadn't heard it, we need to go share it with them, don't we? Try to get into a conversation. Pray for them. Invite them into your house. Invite friends and neighbors to come and hear you preach. And share the gospel with them, right? It's amazing how this all works out. You know, the guy I just told you about that I was able to share the gospel with, and he got saved on his deathbed. It took another 20 years for his son, who had serious breathing problems, COPD, and he got saved about a month before he died. He didn't want to hear it before, but once he was on his deathbed, if you will, he was willing to listen, and he got saved. But how do people hear if somebody don't tell them? I mean, now here Paul says, how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, we're all preachers, aren't we? I'm getting the opportunity to preach this morning. But we all have a special message to be sharing with people. And you know what? There's a passage here in Ezekiel that I was wanting to hit on just for a moment or two, but it talks about a watchman. And you can read this when you go home. The watchman. He's up on the wall around the building, and he sees the enemy coming. What's his job? Those of you been in the military, you know what it's like, right? You stood watch before. What happened? If you saw something that was wrong going on, what were you supposed to do? You blow a trumpet, don't you? Wake up. The enemy is coming. Now, what if the guard saw the enemy coming and just stood there and did nothing? Would he be held accountable for that? He would, wouldn't he? But if he blows the trumpet and the people say, oh, I don't want to get out of bed, who's accountable? They are, because they refuse to listen to the trumpet sound. And so, you know what? We do our job when we share, and they do their job when they believe. And if they believe, then we praise God. If they don't believe, then they're going to be accountable for what they rejected. I want to close with these two verses. Listen to what it says in Daniel. And in Proverbs, it says in Daniel 3, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. You become a bright light. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Do you want to be wise? Then be about your Father's business. And he wants everyone to hear the story about what his son did for them on Calvary. And as ambassadors, that's our job, is to represent God here on earth and tell them about what he did for them. Let's just thank him right now for all that he's done for us, and what an incredible position in society he has given us to be ambassadors for him. Father, we just praise you and thank you this morning for all that you've done for us. Father, we thank you that you so loved us that you gave your only begotten son. And Father, we thank you for every precious believer here in this room today. Father, we pray if there's one here that's never trusted Christ, help them to see that today is the day of salvation. You want them to become your children. You want them to become part of your family. You want to give them a ministry that they can take everywhere they go with them and fill their hearts with joy as they share this good news of the glorious gospel. Father, we thank you for this Christmas season that we're getting ready to celebrate. And Father, we thank you for those special times we'll have with our families. We'll get to share at churches and in different places we go to, at schools and so forth. We just pray that you would just bless the message of the glorious gospel this year. And help us as we plead with those who do not know the gospel. Please constrain our hearts with love to take the message of the good news to the world. We just praise you and thank you for this local church and Father and what a heart they have for the gospel and how many things they have done over the years to reach this neighborhood and to reach family and friends with the good news of the glorious gospel. Father, we just commit it all to you. And we want to shine like those stars as we share the good news with the people who've never heard. We just praise you and thank you this morning for what you have done and what you're going to do in each life represented here in this church. And we commit ourselves to you now in the name which is above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.